Good morning, everybody. It's a dog with you on a Monday morning. It is the 9th of November, 2015. That means it's time for yes, another edition of Weber This Week. Good to have you alongside my broadcast. Longtime friend Dave Barnick is on the couch this morning. We're going to be talking a bevy of sports issues. Lots to talk about, a tremendous amount of things happening in the world of sports, some good and not so good. But David and myself go back a long time. And I want to send out kudos to my neighbor who's with us off camera today, AJ, who's a big Steeler fan. We'll get to the Steelers in a few minutes. He lives in our school building apartment complex a little ways from here, but it's good to have you alongside on a Monday and trust that you all had a nice weekend. The weather is still going to be decent. Dave's talking about golf today. They're talking about maybe mid-50s tomorrow. And then David is supposed to cool down for the weekend in the 40s, but a few weeks to go before Thanksgiving, and it's good to have you alongside. Thanks for coming in.
Well, it's great to be here. However, I am here under false pretenses. I had been told I'd going to meet Jessica Lahr, and the fact that I'm here instead with you, it's very disappointing.
We can arrange that, by the
okay.
way. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not even close to being Jessica Lahr, I can tell you. Dave, myself, as you all know, a long history with myself and Dave. I tell the story, and I always remind everybody, Dave was came in for an audition back in the 70s when WSFW Radio, when I was hired to begin the sports programming of that station under the leadership of Sam Bunis and Bud Suen. And we were expanding it, getting more games, covering more games, wanting to cover more games. And I could only do so much. We needed some help and some play-by-play talent. And Dave came in for an audition, and he certainly showed that his ability to do the play-by-play, and we've become a longtime friends, and we've worked many, many games. And before we went on air this morning, we were talking about some of the memories, and if we get time on the show, we'll talk about some of them. Dave, let's talk about, before we get to football, let's talk about the world of baseball, the Mets and the Royals, a couple of starving teams, even though KC was in it last year. When I was growing up, for years and years, KC was sort of like a doormat. Now they look awesome as a great baseball squad.
They really play baseball the right way, a fun way. And from a perspective of a Yankee fan, this was the greatest World Series since 2009 to see the Mets lose. But the Royals, you know, the Mets have great young pitching, but the Royals did look super and well-deserved. And yes, when we were growing up, they were the doormats. But, of course, a lot of people, like Jim, probably remember those heydays and those great battles between the George Brett-led Royals and the Yankees and the Chris Chambliss home run and all that goes with that.
I can still remember George coming out of that dugout, storming toward the umpire.
Yes.
I remember that like it happened yesterday, the old pine tar issue.
I think Don Zimmer was the coach who said that one who brought that to the attention of the manager.
Exactly.
And although that did get reversed, but it was great theater.
It was. Lots to talk about, and of course, you're right, it was a great World Series. Well, not great, I guess, if you're a Kansas City fan, it was. And for the Mets, you know, they've had a lot of lean years, Jimmy, and it was nice to see them back in the Fall Classic.
It was a great year for the Mets.
They got stronger.
Bad World Series.
They got great pitching, you know, great pitching. Murphy lit it up, except for the World Series. Cespedes went silent during the World Series. I don't know. It seems like that's the first World Series I can recall, David, where a couple of shots in the gap in left center field hit Cespedes' ankle twice. It's hard to do. I don't know what he was trying to do on a couple of them.
You know, for all the great moments he had.
Exactly.
And I know he's been nicked up, but he...
A couple of those catches.
Runs hot and cold.
Bingo. Those were catchable balls.
I don't expect him to be back with the Mets next year, despite the talent.
Well,
I would like to see, get this in, at least once in my lifetime, our lifetimes, the Cubs win once.
Oh, I was pulling for the Cubbies. I really was. I have an American Legion toward the Cubbies. I still see that kid leaning over, interrupting the a lose catch.
Yes.
I definitely was into the Cubs. I was hoping they'd play better. They didn't play good against the Mets. They didn't deserve to move on. But
they'll win one this decade.
I hope so.
Because Joe Maddon's their manager now.
And their GM. Is that Theo Epstein?
Yeah. Yes. Went from Boston. And how about Joe Maddon? First year.
Amazing.
Immediate impact. Yeah. That guy's the best manager in baseball.
He does a lot of fun things with him, too.
All right, Dave. The wild and woolly world of the NFL. I've made this comment on my show many times. A good friend of mine, Scott Trickler, has maintained over the years that there is a fix factor. I'm sorry, I'll say that again, a fix factor in the NFL. And I used to laugh at him and scoff at him. But if you look at some of the things that happen in the NFL week to week, you have to wonder if there's some credence to his theory. Take, for example, yesterday. You got a Tennessee team that just fired their coach. And they just happen to go into New Orleans and win the game. They're an 8-point underdog. Is that something unusual? You might think so. Breeze, you would think his team could bring that a victory after knocking off the Giants when the Giants scored 49 for a loss. And that was amazing too, Dave.
7 touchdown passes.
Yeah, right.
They said Eli threw 6 in one game in college and 1 game in the pros, and he lost both games.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, Jimmy and Dave and AJ, they were talking about the Packers could run the table. Not so fast. The Packers lose to Carolina quite easily yesterday, a game that surprised me. Packers now are 2 in a row for the L side. Amazing.
And they're tied in their division.
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly. That's right. Minnesota.
If their quarterback comes back after taking one in the head.
Yeah, I know. San Fran, who's been playing lousy football, and I remember a couple years ago they were the world beaters, the 49ers. Now they go
Kaepernick's a backup quarterback.
Yeah, they put him on the bench.
Blaine Gabbert.
They got Atlanta yesterday. Atlanta looks like they're going to beat up on old San Fran. Oh, San Fran wins a game scratch. You see where I'm going with this fix factor? Why are there so many weird things? Let's talk about Indy. Indy Colts. You know, a lot of changes. Pagano's job was on the line.
They fired the offensive coordinator earlier in the week.
A lot of questions about Andrew Luck not getting any protection from his offensive line, which I agree. Most sack quarterback in the NFL. Denver with Manning goes in there, and Indy knocks him off.
And Manning threw some nice passes, long-range passes in that game, too, which... You know, obviously he's taken a step back with the age factor, but he looked pretty good yesterday.
And they win. They keep winning. It's their first loss of the year.
Right. And I got to tell you about the fix factor as far as over-under. I was telling these guys a story. I thought it was cute. As you all know, if you go to Vegas, you can bet on this kind of stuff legally. Dave and myself and Jimmy and many others have been out to these sports books, and they're like private cities. They serve alcohol. They serve great food. They have comfortable seats. You can literally bet on horse racing, rugby. Right, Dave? You can bet on, 48 sports going at the same time in these casinos. And the over-under, just to give you an explanation of what that means, is example that they say the Bills-Jets coming up on Thursday night this week. They're going to put it at 45 points. If you bet over, that means you're saying that the total score at the end of that game on Thursday night will be over 45. If it's 45, it's a push. But if it's 46, you win because you bet over. If it's under 45, you bet under. I thought this was amazing. The Tampa Bay Giant game yesterday was 49.5 point over-under. This is not set by Harold Weber or Jim Senecropi or AJ or Dave Barnick. It's set by the experts who do this for a living. They go in these dark rooms and come out with these numbers. Tampa Bay is trailing 26-18 with 12 seconds to go. The kickoff goes down to Tampa Bay, 11, 10. They're throwing the ball backwards, laterals. Oops, 5, 4, 3. Hits some lineman's fingertips. It's backward, which means it's a live ball, as Dave knows from his days of football. And a giant guy with a white jersey picks it up and goes to the end zone. Time over. Touchdown. What's it mean? Well, all the unders had won that, except that 6 points makes it 32-18. Do the math. 50. I mean, Dave, you
30,
can't.
30. Your math was wrong.
32-18.
Right. Oh, yes, yes. 50. Yeah, yeah.
32-18 final, 50. So all the under bets, Jimmy and his friends, Jeff Rook and all these guys, have an under. They're counting their money. They're going to the cage to pick up the moolah. And all of a sudden, you, me, and AJ got the over, and we just found Christmas in November.
It's
amazing.
You know, the most bizarre thing for me, especially with the college and the pros, with all the and far too much, in my opinion, of the replays that slows it up even more.
Yeah. Right.
But nonetheless, with the technology, how many calls they still get wrong?
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty remarkable. Going back to that Duke Miami.
Let me ask you, Dave,
college
game.
If
you were the commissioner of the ACC, a lot of people said they should have made them play it over. Gone back. You agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Four blown calls by the officials on that play.
You know, if players have poor games, officials have... how do you do that? And where does it end then?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then you start getting more lawyers involved, and we're going to go back to a game that was played a month earlier.
Yep.
And that the officials' calls weren't why Miami won that game. Mm-hmm. Duke had a chance to put themselves in a position. They had, despite all the missed calls on that crazy play, they could have snuffed that play out in the beginning.
True.
So
tough one.
And you know, it's weird to look back on the, you know, even you go back 10 or 15 years ago, every game was filled with missed calls because we didn't have instant replay.
Right.
And I guess it was frustrating as a fan at times, but you just lived with it. So now there's never going to be a perfect
Now that I've had time to think about this, I think they should replay the Music City Miracle.
That's right. I remember that one. I do remember that one.
Yeah.
With Tennessee.
The Bills and the Titans.
Oh, yeah. Hey, speaking of spotlighting people, how about Allie Marpert of the Hobart College fame, offensive guard, well-regarded when he was at school his senior year. Everybody said he was going to be a high draft choice. Nobody in their right mind thought he would be second round, though, 61st in the NFL draft choice. Allie Marpert, who is a starter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, pretty amazing. An historical move from Division III, David, as you know. But Allie Marpert not only is an outstanding player, not only is he smart because he went to Hobart, is that he was graded. There's people that grade guards and tackles and all that stuff.
Number one.
Graded number one since week three as an offensive guard in the NFL.
That's tremendous.
Amazing.
Tremendous.
Our Hobart guy.
Yeah, he's right up there with the co-captain for yesterday's Bills game, the guard, Richie Incognito.
Yeah, Richie Incognito.
Who's actually been the best lineman for the Bills this year.
Oh, God. Richie. And, of course, you have to wonder about old Richie.
But that's a great story. Right.
All right, before we take
anything away from that.
I know Jimmy's a graduate of SU, and I've been picking on relentlessly on my Facebook page about SU and Schaefer. I've never been a big fan of Scott Schaefer. He's been there 3 years. He's got 3-6 now, 6 straight losses. 3-7. The number one team. And, Jimmy, don't talk about an upset Saturday. Clemson comes into town with their spirited win the other day after trailing against Florida State. Your opinion of Schaefer, it's his third year. It looks like potentiality of 3-9 or 4-8. You're feeling more time needed. You don't have a problem. He's still there. What bothers me, and Jimmy can speak volumes in this since he was a graduate of that university, you look at SU home games, a lot of empty seats, Dave, and that usually tells the sign.
Yeah, it's a tough situation for whoever's coaching, and I follow the Qs. I've watched some of their games.
Yep.
I'm far from an expert on this.
Right.
Actually, I like how hard he gets the guys to play. They all seem to be in the games for about close to a half or so, but I hope he's given at least another year myself. I like the quarterback if they can keep him.
Yeah, he's going to be out for a while.
We got a young team. Yeah. You know, we got great young talent. Our starting tailback, Fredericks, is a freshman. Our starting quarterback, Dungy, is a true freshman.
Yeah.
Steve Ishmael is a sophomore. He's a receiver with NFL aspirations. And the defense is young. The secondary is horrible, but you're not going to take Schaefer and start from scratch again.
Right.
You gotta ride it out. And the other thing that you gotta keep in mind is there has not been any off the field issues with these Syracuse players recently.
Right.
You know, academically the program's doing good. Would you trade some success for off the field issues? You know. If we were having 3-4 guys getting arrested or in the news every year, but we were winning, would we be happy? The people would be on Schaefer about that. So I don't want to burn it down and start it over again. I'm going to stick with Scott Schaefer and see what he can do with this young group that he's got now. I think he's got to become a better in-game coach. I think he does everything good from Sunday till Friday, and then on Saturday he makes some questionable choices with clock management.
Leaving Dungy in the game the other day, bringing him back in, down by 30 or 24 or whatever it was. A lot of people are questioning that move. Yeah. He even questioned his conference, I saw.
Yeah, well, it's easy when it's over to question it. But Dungy wants to get in there and play. You want him to keep getting experience. But I'll say this about Syracuse, and this is probably true of all college football, because we talked about Duke recently. It's hard to believe that they could be a top 25 program.
Yeah.
But we had LSU, who's the number two ranked team in the country, I think, right now. We had them. We were in the game with them in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So if we're good enough to take one of the top teams from the SEC and in the country into the fourth quarter within a possession, then we can't be that far off, right?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I question.
I wonder if this era right now, Syracuse, I mean, what will it take for them to really compete with the giants of such a conference, even the ACC? It's just going to be tough, whoever's coaching them.
I think you're right. And
basketball season's here now, though, guys.
Oh, yeah. That's great to talk about. You know, it's ironic. They were talking about his salary last night on Channel 9. They were talking about whether the heat will intensify. What's the new AD going to do with Schaefer? Are they going to let him slide another year? And they were saying something about somebody was complaining about he makes $1.3 million. And I sat home thinking, myself, AJ, you, David, and Jimmy's pets could get to 3-9, literally. So you're going to get $110,000 directly deposit in your account for winning the first three and losing potentially.
It's one of the lowest paid coaches in the country,
Jimmy,
though.
It's $1.3 million. It's $110,000 every month. $1.3 million to produce a record with 3 and potentially 9? Are you kidding me?
If they
David,
won
you
those
have a,
two
you have a
winnable
dog,
games.
Do you have a dog besides me as a good friend of yours? Do you have a dog at home?
Not anymore.
Okay, do you have a cat?
No, fortunately not.
Okay, well, if you had a pet, I'm telling you, that's a lot of money for producing a record such as this.
I have a plant.
Okay. Well, I know $1.3 million doesn't dazzle you because you got your first million behind your house dug deep, down about 12 feet. I think you gave us the map years ago. We couldn't find it.
You know, when you say $1 million to people, of course, I mean, it's a great amount of money. But then if you compare it to some of these other coaches, particularly in the South or... Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something. Nick Saban's worth $8 million a year. Alabama's there again. Of course, they get fours and fives about, 90% of them.
But do you remember, do you remember, say, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, even the Ivy League played a much better brand of football.
I agree.
By and large. I'd go to a Cornell game. It was pretty exciting, actually, and the crowds were good. And things have just dropped a level.
It's going to be interesting. Jimmy may be right. He may have the inside track. The interesting is the AD has not made any comments about Schaefer's job. I'm sure he'll be asked to make a comment if the losses continue. And it'll be interesting as Clemson comes to town this week. Game time, by the way, folks, 3:30 ABC this Saturday, broadcast time for that game, 3:30. Clemson visits the Dome. Let's send out kudos to the Penn Yan girls volleyball team. The reason I'm bringing this up this morning is they have won their first league title in 29 years. Congratulations to the Penn Yan girls volleyball team for doing very, very well. Hey, Dave Barnick's son works for the NBA team. We'll get to some NBA and a whole lot more. This is Weber This Week on a Monday. Hope you're enjoying the show as we banter many topics. We'll come back after we hear from the great sponsors that make this show possible. Cayuga Lake National Bank, Bill Ryan and his team for all of your banking needs. Offices in Union Springs and Aurora, a fine sponsor of this show for over 30 years. DA Liquor, Seneca Falls. Amy Padula and her great team will find that right spirit for you every time. Tell Amy the dog sent you. Cicino's, live, laugh, eat well, it's the Italian way. It's also the Cicino's way. Place your order today at cicinos.com. Locations, Main Street, Waterloo, and 401 Exchange Street in Geneva. The Good Hotel welcomes you to come out and enjoy the revitalization of this historical landmark. Wednesdays, don't forget Ladies' Night with special priced drinks and half-priced appetizers. Tap is Thursday, and their chef serves a dinner special every night. The Good Hotel in Seneca Falls. Steve Wadhams, Wadhams Enterprises, your employer of choice. Proud supporter of this show and local athletics. Bob and Leslie Ullman, owners of the Ullman Theater, in Lions as well as the Newark Pilots, a minor league baseball team with a major league ballpark. SenecaFallsCountryClub.com. Awesome 18-hole layout offering a 12-month payment plan. Home of the toughest par 4 in central New York. Wilson Press, WPress.com. Seneca Falls, Rich Rickey, my good friend and his team, can handle all of your printing and mailing needs. Rich Rickey, Wilson Press, a fine sponsor of Weber This Week. Welcome back, everybody. It's a dog with you. We're at a little chilly kennel this morning. Hope you're all having a good time on a Monday morning. Hope you all had a good weekend. And as Dave pointed out, there's still some good golf weather to be played this week. Temperatures are going to be ranging anywhere from mid-50s, high-50s to maybe mid-40s, high-40s later in the week. But, David, as I like to think about it every day, we get in the finger lights without snow. I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, one day closer to spring, although I have to say, while I'm enjoying this, I know I'm going to get shafted again this afternoon by Rocky Graziano, Michael Connor, and Marvelous Marv Serafino. So
they'll take you down.
They're right in my pocket all the time.
Dave, we're talking about the NFL. You had a couple comments to make.
Well, I think the one thing, the biggest story off the field continues to be Greg Hardy, and if Dallas is really America's team,
right,
that doesn't speak well for America, I don't think.
No.
With him, I don't know if you saw the news, but about a week ago, a former Oakland Raider got convicted of three murders, torturing and murdering. And again, he was also a sack master. Anthony Smith, he had 57 and a half sacks back in, and retired in 98. But, you know, if they can perform on the field, and Ndamukong Suh is another one of these bad actors.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. At some point, I think they need to set a better example.
Jerry Jones said Greg Hardy's a leader.
Team leader.
Yeah. A leader.
So I don't know, Jerry.
I don't think they'd let him go.
Well, they're 2-6, so.
Yeah.
And what's weird about that, they're only two games behind first place.
Yeah, yeah.
The Giants with a big win yesterday.
But there's no defense for the Giants.
Yeah.
Nice to see Pierre Paul back. But the Greg Hardy situation is pretty sad.
It's distressing.
It is. And I'm glad it's getting highlighted, however, which maybe it wouldn't have 20 years ago.
You wanted to send kudos out to South Seneca.
Yeah, the South Seneca girls have some outstanding athletes. They won league titles in both volleyball and soccer. They lost in the finals, but reached the finals in both sports. Emily LaVarnway is just one athlete. She plays basketball basically for something to do in the winter. She's a starter. Great track and field athlete and a tremendous soccer player. Mackenzie Kenyon, Bailey Mingus, Laura Wyckoff, and a host of very good athletes. And congratulations to those teams, members of those teams and their coaches.
Hey, by the way, flashing back to a comment on SU football in Schaefer, I was visiting my friend Bill Ryan, who you know, the banker.
Yeah, great guy.
Who's a good friend of mine, has been a friend of mine for some 40-some years. I was visiting his bank the other day to take some money out of Dave Barnick's account, unbeknownst to Dave, and it worked. I got $12, Dave. But we were just chit-chatting, and if you talk about SU fans, there is nobody in this world that's a bigger SU fan, and Jim would agree with this, than Billy Ryan.
Yep.
George Jones, Kenny McLenathan. These guys, Bobby Martins, they have followed Syracuse for probably 50 years.
Never miss a game.
They go on the road. To spring practice. They take trains to these games.
They host the Orange Pack Golf Tournament.
Yeah, and Bobby Martins does a great job. They are relentless SU followers. As I was in his office having a cup of coffee with him last week, just chewing the fat, getting caught up on stuff, and he's a great sponsor of this show, which I'm appreciative of. He's been a sponsor of my shows for 35 years. I asked him about Schaefer and asked him about Syracuse and the losses, et cetera, et cetera. And he looked at me and he looked down at his paperwork and looked back up at me and said, "Dog, it's all about winning."
Yeah.
It's all about winning. And I felt that, you know, as much as we think he's great and he has fight for his kids and he does a great speech and I pick on him for all, you know, I call
him. Who are you going to bring in, though, that's going
to
win?
But I just wanted to share that. Here's a guy that's been following SU football for 50 years and he says, you got to win. You got to win.
If you bring in another coach
yep.
and he wins, he's going to leave for another job.
Sure. It's going to be interesting.
It's a really a no-win situation. I thought with Doug Marrone, we had a guy. He said it was his dream job. He turned the program around and went to some bowls, and then he bolted.
Yeah, I know. Interesting. We'll see what it plays out. Hey, by the way, Jim, let's talk about some big things going on with our debut of high school basketball here on Finger Lakes One TV, fingerlakes1.com. As viewers know, we have, thanks to Jim and the resources he's put into these cameras, et cetera, and a crew of 4 to 6 people to these games, we are proud to announce this morning, we're not going to give you the entire schedule, we're going to open up our coverage on the 28th of November. That's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We will be at the beautiful New York Chiropractic College. Rhett Ticone, who's our great host, good friend of this show, a great friend of yours, Jimmy, will be our host. And not only one, not two, not three, but 4 games we'll be covering here on Finger Lakes One. And Jimmy, run them down. Who are the games going to be involved in?
Yeah, there'll be 2 sessions. The morning session kicks off with South Seneca against Southern Cuga out of the IAC. And then the second game's a really, really good one. It's Geneva against North Rose Woolcott. North Rose Woolcott should be the class of the Wayne County League, and Geneva, a much bigger school in the Finger Lakes East. That should be a great game. And then there's a little break. We come back for the evening session, which will be 2 Wayne County FL East crossovers, Mid Lakes against Lions, which is made interesting by the fact that a kid named Carswell, who played on Lions' state Final Four team last year, transferred to Mid Lakes.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting to see the new-look Lions coming off of their run last year and then the rebuilding Mid Lakes. And then the nightcap, Minders and Clyde. Mm. So 4 games. All in all this season, we have 25 games on the slate, which we'll reveal later this week. Keep an eye on Finger Lakes One homepage for that.
That's right. Great.
And, of course, we've got what a great crew we've got. We've got Dave, you Dog. We've got Mike Alessio, Kevin Korzeneski, Matt Verkey, Brendan Harrington, Tane Robinson. We got the Hunt brothers on camera. We got a few other people helping out this year. Dennis Leahy helped out last year. He'll be back for some games. And so we got a great crew, and it's a lot of fun. And winter around here in the Finger Lakes is a great time to stay at home and catch some of these 7 o'clock starts, on Tuesday nights.
And you were saying we might have a special gentleman named Brad Connor.
Oh, yeah, my buddy Brad Connor, when we were young, we used to watch a game and we'd hit record on the tape recorder and announce it, and so he's going to be home for Thanksgiving. He's going to sit in as a third man in the broadcast booth for the evening session at NYCC, which will be fun because, I wouldn't call it a childhood dream or anything, but it's something, that he kind of has always been interested in. He co-hosts the Upstate Orange podcast with me on Finger Lakes One TV, so he'll call those 2 evening games, so that'll be fun.
All right, so you got not 1, not 2, not 3, but 4 games set for the 28th of November at the beautiful New York Chiropractic College with Rhett Ticone, our host, and him and his team do a great job of welcoming us, and we look forward to broadcasting. David, I know it's a site that you and me have been several times, and it's always enjoyable to work down there.
Yeah, and my most memorable game ever was when South Seneca played Lions in a New York State qualifying game after both teams had won the sectionals. Rod Verkey was coaching Lions, and I don't know if it was a single or a double overtime, but they had a guy called the human eraser, Elgin Riggins.
Sure do.
And he threw up a shot that hit the back iron, went about 10 foot up in the air,
switch,
and came back down to beat South Seneca, and they went on to win the state championship that year. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got to get your opinion, David, regarding Pete Rose. Supposed to have a meeting with the commissioner, the new commissioner. Thank God they got rid of the old one, finally. Talk about Pete Rose. Any chance you think he might release him from state prison for the 25 years that he's been there for betting on baseball as a manager?
Well, every time I think a lot of people start to soften their stance toward Pete.
Right.
He steps on his own tongue, or he does something to further incriminate himself. And also, he's got to start dressing better on these broadcasts and stop dyeing his hair so much. But as I know, he went up to a young boy went up to him the other day and said, "They can't keep you out of the Hall of Fame, Mr. Rose." And he said, "You want to bet?"
Well, my view on Pete Rose, I watched him. I'm old enough to go back to the days of Geneva, New York, when he played there. And I watched Tony Perez and some of the other legendary players coming through. My feeling has always been, yes, he gambled when he was a player. And, of course, the incriminating thing that really drilled him into the cement was betting on the team when he was the manager. That really was the coup de grace. But my feeling has always been, if you go out and commit murder today and kill four people, you get sent to jail for 25 to life, maybe 30 to life. Usually after 30 years, for some reason, some states release you. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. I'm saying people who murder people get out of prison, Dave. They get out of prison.
Yeah.
And it's part of our society that you serve 25, 30, 35 years, you're released. Maybe not everybody. There are sentences that say with no possibility of parole. But that's not really a case in a lot of murders. People commit murders and get off. And all I'm saying is, let's get it. Let's get them to the panel. What's it called? Not the regular
veterans.
That's all I'm asking. Well,
I think there's two different issues here. Okay. One is the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And with those that system and some of the crusty people that are in there,
right?
There are plenty of people, not just Pete Rose,
right,
who should be getting into the Hall of Fame, albeit with some asterisks next to their names,
bingo,
or whatever. And then the other issue is Major League Baseball softening its stance, and if not P. Rose to manage, at least allow him,
right,
to be a presence at certain events.
I agree.
So that he can, you know, before he's pushing up daisies, he can enjoy. I mean, he was a great
player.
He was a Hall of Famer among Hall of Famers.
Oh, my God.
Charlie Hustle.
You want to match stats?
Yeah, he
stats?
In America, no matter what you do, if you come clean and apologize and are contrite, America will forgive you.
Yeah.
Pete Rose has never come out and said, I did it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I was wrong. He's defiant.
Yes. Yeah. And even some of his close friends / former Hall of Fame teammates, Johnny Bench most notably, have difficulties with the way he's managed things,
right,
in that regard.
So I think that's part of it. And
I like the new commissioner very much.
He's, yeah, Rob Manfred.
Seems open to a dialogue.
Did I ever tell you the story about when Rose broke Cobb's record, what I was doing? I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and I had an AM radio up in my bedroom.
AM radio.
And if I could just get it just right, you could get games from way far away. And we loved baseball so much that for that week where Rose was getting close to breaking that, I would tune in and listen to these Reds games. And so I listened to that live through a crackly AM radio. And I remember as if it was yesterday. It was like a monumental achievement, and I just wanted to kind of be a part of that. And it's so different now as to then. If now every channel would break into it, ESPN would have eight guys at Riverfront Stadium, you know, waiting for it to happen. But back then it was, you know, a lot of people found out about it either at the 11 o'clock news or by opening up the newspaper the next morning. And it's just funny.
Yeah. Radio baseball in our lifetimes was very much comfort food for me.
Yep.
And I can remember same thing. And on two channels on the AM dial, depending on the way the wind was blowing or whatever, I'd either get Atlanta Braves or the Detroit Tigers with Ernie Harwell, because they were right next to each other on the dial. Not to mention Jack Buck and St. Louis and many others.
I feel sort of honored because when I got to know Jimmy Santacropi, he's about the same age as my daughter, Sam, who, by the way, honey, congratulations. She just celebrated her 20th year as a dog groomer last Thursday. Samantha, 20 years driving that van up and down the street, grooming dogs. Pretty impressive. So if she's checking out the show or somebody's checking out me, let's make sure you tell her my daughter. I gave her a little kudos today. She'll probably be over for lunch if I know, and I better hide the candy. But I was thinking of Jimmy. When I first met Jimmy made it clear that when he was cutting greens, he used to have his headset on, listening to Weber on sports, and didn't agree with a thing that I said 25 years ago to today. So that's impressive as well. Well, that was your tour, that was your task, right, Jimmy? Listen to the show in the morning on the way to doing the greens.
Well, it was not, and you know, I don't know if it's a coincidence that we're sitting here together doing this stuff, but you know, I always had an interest in all things kind of media and local media, and part of it is probably because of those experiences I had when I'd be working at the country club and at 7 a.m. I'd be mowing the fifth green and there would be Harold Weber talking to local people, talking sports.
Jim, with today's technology, what would you think about perhaps from the archives taking some of Harold's shows today, putting them on the headset, and taking the leaf blower out to the country?
I hope you enjoy your stay here today, Dave, because your number may not get called
by
again.
By the way, before we leave or end, we didn't, I don't know, can we spend a minute on the Buffalo Bills?
Please. Oh, yeah, speak to the Buffalo. Big win yesterday.
One guy, and I root for him. I root for the Bills and the Giants. And but the one guy that's, in spite of Sammy Watkins' outstanding game yesterday, the one guy that I think needs to go is Doug Whaley.
He's
and
terrible.
When I think about Tyrod Taylor, who's done a great job when he's been on the field, but he was unproven. He runs, so he was apt to get injured. And for them to get rid of Matt Cassel, who's no Tom Brady, I grant you that, but he at least looks like an NFL quarterback. We were stuck, the Bills, with E.J. Manuel.
Worst decision in the world.
And as talented as Watkins is and may turn out to have a fine career, I hope he does, to give up a future first-round draft pick when Odell Beckham and the receiver from Carolina, I think Benjamin, were both drafted after him, it was like, enough is enough.
Hey, you guys have followed the world of the draft. I bring it up on this show all the time. I've never been a Bills fan. I admit it. But you think about their brain trust or lack thereof, maybe a small B and a small T. When E.J. Manuel left Florida State, he was the fifth-rated quarterback by every service in the world.
His own coach didn't see him as
So what do the Bills do? They get in a room and they say, first round, E.J. Manuel.
He
what?
Was Marone's guy, though.
Are you kidding me?
Marone wanted
That was
him.
The bonehead move as I ever saw. Well, since David took a shot at me as we leave the show this morning, I must deliver a shot backwards. You know, he thinks he's a fast guy, and I got to tell you, Jay, once upon a time, we were covering football up at mine this year.
I thought I was a fast
and
guy.
And Dave Barnick, and we were having lunch the day before our broadcast, and he said, I don't know, I was telling him I was a track star at Miners for 6 months. Dave said, I can move. I'm a big guy. I'm bigger than you are, Doug, but I can move with my feet. I could beat you in a race. And Jack DiPolito was our broadcast partner, a good friend of ours from Clyde, New York. That sounds like a bet's coming. And before we went and did the Miners game, myself and David, DiPolito measured off 100 yards in front of the broadcast booth. And we bet $5 who would win the race. DiPolito set up the entire setup. And I said, Dave, I'm going to leave you in the dust. Dave said, I don't think so. I'm a big guy, but I can move. Go! I was finished having a toasted cheese and soup, and Dave was still running. That's the story. He flipped over the five. He got wiped out on that race.
That was like the Jerry Seinfeld show.
Yeah, well, good.
There was a false start. So I lagged behind.
Yeah, you lagged. All right, Dave. Hey, as usual, thanks for coming.
NBA.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Right. We got to talk NBA. We only got a couple minutes more. All right, Dave, your son works for Sacramento. It's been a lean year so far, but tell us, are they going to win more games?
Well, yeah, they will if they stay healthy. DeMarcus Cousins, best center in the league.
Right.
Rondo is getting along famously right now with George Karl and playing very well. They're in a tough conference. Brand new state-of-the-art stadium will open next year. Mm. ESPN's doing a 30 for 30 on the rabid Sacramento fans and the fact that they almost lost that team to Seattle some years ago. But if you're not watching the NBA, and some people poo-poo it and all that, but it's really been on the rise in America with interest and ratings. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, the way they play and the way he's playing, and he was an MVP last year, are sensational. And, of course, I must mention my dearly beloved Boston Celtics.
Yes.
Their superstar, the one superstar they have, is the guy coaching the team, Brad Stevens. Mm.
So, Dave, what happens? I mean, this probably would never happen, but let's just say it did. Celtics-Sacramento NBA Finals, who are you rooting for?
Well, blood is thicker than water, but maybe by then my son will be with the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, you never know, because it might be
a great
long
job,
time.
As is my daughter, Carrie, so I'm very pleased for my kids.
They're doing very well. Well, we've chomped on a lot of topics this morning. We hope you've enjoyed it. We like to do this once in a while. We like to bring in Dave and share his thoughts, many thoughts on many topics. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. By the way, speaking of shows, next week we have Katie McIntyre, who is the new marketing officer for the Generations Bank. I understand she's doing a great job, along with Menzo Case, the president of the Generations Bank. Going to talk a little bit about banking, but we're also going to talk about the 19K, which, Jimmy, is going to be run next May,
right?
May 7th. Why is that important? Because that's myself and Mary Dog's 50th wedding anniversary. Ooh. May 7th, 2016.
50 big ones.
I know you're going to bring
outstanding. Mary, you deserve more than...
Dave, I understand you're bringing Mary a dozen roses. Okay, get the cheap ones.
And I bring Delaine, my sweetheart Delaine, 2 dozen roses.
I like that. So anyways, Katie McIntyre, Menzo Case will be my guest on the couch next week. By the way, if you want to come on the program, and if a lot of people come up to me and say, how do I get on the show? Well, it's easy. You just email Jim or myself or get a hold of me or whatever, or any member of the staff here, and we'll try to get you hooked up. We'll give you a date, work out the details to get you into the studios. We can allow usually 2 guests on the couch here. We might be able to cram in 3 if it becomes that issue, but we'd like to talk about, you know, charity events. You want to come in and talk about your team, your focus on certain issues, let us know. We cover all kinds of elements on this show. That's why it's called Weber This Week. And we want to talk about anything, and basically, as long as we keep it kind of clean. So if you want to come on the program, it's easy to get a hold of me or Jim, and we'll schedule it. Jim always sends me the note, and we track you down. So by all means, we have a open window here to come on the show. Remember, folks, high school basketball, 4 games coming up on the 28th of November. Looking forward to getting underway at the New York Chiropractic College, and I hope that you check out the action if you can't actually get to the game. Speaking for Dave Barnick and my friend AJ from the apartment complex, along with Jimmy Santacropi, this is the Dog bidding you farewell. Enjoy the week, everybody.
Visit patreon.com/FL1.
FingerLakes1.com.